Greetings from Podcastville. It's Thursday, the 12th of motherfucking December. It's somebody's birthday. I don't know whose it is. It don't matter. The church is brought to you by Stance Socks. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you one time. They're the most comfortable socks that I own. When I'm on the road, they give me pep in my step. If I know I'm going to go to Chicago Airport or Dallas or one of those airports where you got to walk for 20 fucking minutes, I put my Stance socks on. They're comfortable, and they support the people in your life the way they support you, all right? Get them at Stance Socks. They're not just comfy. They're going to turn heads. Do me a favor right now. The church family gets a great offer from Stance. You ready? Go to stance.com/church, and you'll get a free pair of socks with any purchase. Stance is the best way to get everybody off your holiday shopping list. That's Stance. Grab a pen. Capital STANCE.com/church and get your free pair of socks. Because if you're not Stance, they're just socks. You know what I'm saying? The church is also brought to you by my bookie. Listen to me, you fucks. It's December. You like winning money? December's a great time for sports fans. You're like, Joey, why? I'll tell you fucking why. You got the NFL, you got college football, you got basketball, you got hockey, and this weekend, you got Usman versus Covington is coming up. That's Saturday night. You've been sitting there, what's going on Saturday night? Covington against fucking Usman, cocksucker. MyBookie.ag has all the lines and much, much more, all right? Do me a favor. Did you see New England lose last week? You see all this shit going on? You could have been a piece of that. Did you have the Chiefs upset in New England? No. You're too busy fucking around. Right now, today, go to mybookie.ag right now. Enter promo code CHURCH and get 50% off your bonus. That's right. 50% bonus on your initial deposit. You're like, Joey, what does that mean? Break it down for me. I'm kind of stupid. It means if you deposit a G-note, they're going to put a nickel in there to match your deposit, okay? So if you put in a grand, they give you 500. It's that easy. Do me a favor. Visit mybookie.ag today. That's mybookie.ag today. And don't forget to use promo code CHURCH when creating your account to claim the bonus. The church is also brought to you by one of the best gifts you could give right now. Listen, I'm throwing little things at you. That these gifts are tremendous. They're affordable. And they're, people don't see them coming. Like the Tushy. You're like, Joey, what's a Tushy? It's a portable bidet you install in 10 minutes by yourself. Tushy sprays water directly into that rotten fucking asshole of yours and removes the poop completely. So you're not sitting on fucking shit all day and bacteria that leads to nasty things like hemorrhoids, yeast infection, UTI, and the most common, itchy asshole and skid marks. Do me a favor. Go to HelloTushy.com today, right now. They start at $79. And Tushy's latest product, the Tushy Ottoman, helps you get everything out. But let's start right here. Go to HelloTushy.com. Take a look at the selection of bidets they have. It's going to blow your fucking mind. You see something you like, press in church and get 10% off your order. This is the motherfucking Christmas gift. Next time you look at grandma, think to yourself, what does that fucking bat smell like? And get her a fucking Tushy, all right? HelloTushy.com/church. Lee, kick this motherfucking mule. There you go. That's how you start a fucking day right there. This is it right here. If this don't get you jumping out a window, nothing will. Go back to the rehab. Dan Soda, the Christ Killer. Your Uncle Joey Diaz. We're back, bitches. Album just makes you want to do heroin. That's it. Dan Soda, what's the story?
Dude, I think with the right music and you beside me in a car, you could talk me into robbing a bank.
Oh, please. This is the
If we had the right playlist and you were in my ear.
I love all this shit.
But you would just be like, do you want to go get that? I'd be like, this First Federal is about to catch this.
Oh, they're done. That's and I got the voice. That's what I used to do.
Really?
Before I did anything evil.
Yeah.
I'd get in the car and blast some fucking music
just
and get fired up.
Yeah.
Sabbath, bloody Sabbath. I want revenge. I want blood. I'd walk around and I'd crawl in through a window, take your Coke and leave.
Spotify should give playlists to incarcerated people just in what they hyped up on. Can you imagine seeing those things? And you're like,
oh my God.
This got me to murder a family of four. And you're like, oh man, look at that playlist.
It's fucking crazy, yeah. When Charles Manson killed, he said,
Manson could do a Spotify playlist.
What's happening, brother?
Dude, thanks for having me, man. It's nice to finally, I'm a fan, so it's nice to meet you.
No, I'm a fan of yours. It's funny, you have a great resume. You did the stand-ups on Netflix.
Yeah.
You've been with Comedy Central. But it's so weird. When you got into comedy any time before 2000, your goal was ultimately HBO. And then it just went away.
Yeah.
They started putting on George Klein and all these older comics that, yeah, they're interesting, but they really weren't relevant. Nobody wanted to see them.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what HBO was doing, but it wasn't getting nowhere. Netflix came along and stole the show.
Yeah.
HBO sat there with their dick in their hand. They don't know what the fuck to do. You know, we all grew up on HBO.
Yeah, absolutely.
HBO was the epitome. I did not want to be on Showtime. Okay?
No, that
I knew
was
from the beginning.
HBO was the first round draft pick.
HBO was the first draft. And then somewhere along the line, like in anything in life, you know, something new popped up hot, which we all appreciate. Netflix is doing a great job.
It's good for all. Comedy it's good for comics.
Comedy is booming because of Netflix. But now HBO is saying, you know what? I think we're going to regain what was once ours now.
Yeah.
It's free game now. I think we're going to do something different with specials, blah, 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 blah. So I congratulate you on that. That
thanks.
You got to the top floor of the specials. I mean, you did Comedy Central, Netflix.
Yeah,
now,
getting
so.
The...
And I'm not putting Netflix down or Comedy Central.
No,
I'm just saying that, you know, Central started in 91. When Comedy Central started, you know, one of the first shows they had that was big was Politically Incorrect.
Yeah.
Which later moved on to ABC, which is now Real Time with Bill Maher. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, growing up, Comedy Central, I think like I'm one of the first generation of kids that grew up with first cable, but then you had Comedy Central. 91, I was 8 years old, and I was able to watch a bunch of comedy that, you know, I would have never had access to before Comedy Central. But HBO was still the thing where when you got the free weekend, you would try to tape whatever specials you could and watch it. And I remember being a kid and seeing like those half hours, like Chappelle's half hour, Patton Oswalt's half hour from the mid-90s, and you'd see all those and be like, man, this is the shit. HBO is, because you knew they were unedited. Comedy Central was still cable. So then even Chappelle's Killing Them Softly and all those kind of specials were, you know, both rocks. Getting one was like, oh, fuck. It was great, but there was like also like this pressure.
Yeah, was Bigger and Blacker HBO?
Yeah, both.
Because
Bigger and Blacker and Bring the Pain.
Because I never had HBO, and HBO for me was like a hotel on vacation.
Yeah.
Was like a big thing. Like, oh snap, we got HBO. Like they're swearing in these specials.
Yeah.
Like it was a big deal.
You find out what year HBO started. It had to be, if I had to take a guess, I say 73, 74.
Yeah.
I still remember my friends talking about a movie called Groove Tube.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was either the lead up to a film called Kentucky Fried Chicken. Kentucky Fried Film, or vice versa.
72.
It was the whole cast of Saturday Night Live before Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase, John Candy. See who the cast was?
Of the SNL in 72?
No.
No, it's Kentucky Fried.
Oh, sorry.
Of Groove Tube.
Groove Tube, sorry.
If you look
at so this is basically like, you're like seeing like a mixtape of comedy.
No, this was not stand-up.
Yeah, but I'm saying like of improv people that yes. are going to go on to be SNL.
Right. This was
yeah.
brilliantly done. Who was the cast?
Ken Shapiro, Richard Belzer, who we just talked about, Chevy Chase, Buzzy Linhart, who I've never heard of, Richmond Bear, Berkeley Harris. Are these names ringing a bell?
No, but they were like improv people that were well-known. And, you know, it was just sketches, like a Kentucky Fried movie was a sketch. They were in a courtroom, and fucking all of a sudden the attorney opens a briefcase up and takes a dick out and puts it on his head. At least they're saying we are from another planet and all this shit. When you're 12 and you smoke a joint between 18 kids,
yeah,
it's hysterical. Yeah. Another scene of three black guys playing dice, and a white guy walks up, puts a construction helmet on, and he looks at all three guys and he goes, "Niggers," and he runs and they chase him.
Yeah.
And then it showed, you know. But the moral of the story is Kentucky Fried Movie, 72, you said?
Well, HBO started in 74.
74, so I was 11, I was correct.
And that's, and I mean, I, yeah, I SNL dying. Started in 75.
I was dying to see it hit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the word on the street was GrooveTube had a scene where a guy chased a naked woman, but it was on HBO. Again, nobody had HBO.
No one had HBO.
I still remember.
It's brand new. So they're...
I still remember sitting my mom down, Cuban mom,
yeah,
and like breaking it down for her how I needed HBO for school. And, you know, because they don't know. They're watching Telemundo.
Wait, you pushed a subscription to a pay channel for a titty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's brilliant.
Mom, let me talk to you about
what
this.
That's big thinking.
It had to be like $14.95. So my mom goes, "We'll do it on one condition. We split it." I was like, "Fine." So I had a, there was a box. You had to get boxes in those.
Yeah.
It was a box with a switch. And it was like 1 to 14, 14 to 28, 28 to whatever.
Yeah.
And those were the channels.
Yeah.
And then there were porno channels, Lee, on like 56, but they would come and slanted.
Yeah, scrambled. So they'd come and scrambled.
And
I remember
you
that.
Had a, you had to scramble the button, and you'd catch like the pussy, and you'd start jerking off. Then it would go away.
Like, yeah, you're just going to get glimpses, you know, of it.
But I still remember putting my mother together.
That's so
for funny. HBO, her going out, the groove tube being on, and me sitting there, underwear off, ready to bang this motherfucker out to the fucking groove
tube. What a space shuttle
and
launch.
It was just a scene.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you, and there was no way, like, now there's DVR. Now you can rewind TV. Right. But then you had to almost.
That's it.
It was timing. It was all timing.
There was no DVR. Ready. There was no VCR.
You couldn't see something and backtrack it. You couldn't see something and be like, let me go back.
No.
Now I'm going to jerk off to it. You're like, I have to get ready to jerk off to this exact moment.
Like Woman in Red.
Yeah.
Woman in Red with the chick, the hot chick. She was the one from Weird Science.
Oh, the one, Kelly LeBrock was awesome.
Kelly LeBrock was pure heat.
Yeah, Weird Science was a movie that I could
check out. Oh, yeah. Weird Science, she's beautiful. The one she did when she married poor Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal ruined her fucking career. She was fucking beautiful.
But you, I'm the generation of like the VHSs of those. So you would get like the VHS of Weird Science and then jerk off to the Kelly LeBrock coming out after
the
maker.
Or whatever. Yeah. Oh,
and then you just be like, all right. Jeez. And then eventually come and then Chet's on the screen and you're like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, with me, one time, what's his name, goes to ring her doorbell and she gets out of bed and she's naked.
Yeah.
And for a split second, you see a pussy. I still remember 1986 freezing that, being so coked up.
Yeah.
And just like trying to get a hard on and just freezing, kill the Brock's pussy. Like, you didn't see the clit or nothing.
Yeah.
Just a little black bush of hair of her getting out of the window. Getting out of bed and looking out the window, and then they don't show it again.
I think the first one for me was maybe Titanic with the boob.
That was your first titty?
I think so. I don't know. That's the first one I can remember being like, oh my God.
But the first tit I saw was when I went to see The Godfather.
Okay.
She takes her shirt off.
Yeah.
On the honeymoon. Like my head almost exploded. Like I was 10. I was like, all right. Now I know why my mom hides those bras. I didn't know what a bra was for. Now.
Yeah. You didn't realize it was to conceal to something great.
And she didn't have good Apollonia.
Yeah.
Did not
Apollonia was
titties.
Hot, though.
She was beautiful.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday. But she had like
learned a trick.
She had like, she already had a kid titties.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? She already had like two Mexican kid titties.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the nipples looked the aortas.
She's on the comeback tour for her titties.
She was on the comeback tour. So. Like, that was, I just wanted to talk about HBO. Like,
but yeah, Schwarzenegger.
And then my mother kept it.
Just, you
know,
for the rest.
She kept it, and, you know, you just started watching stuff.
How you caught Carlin, a bunch of.
Carlin,
the original
all that
Carlin.
Stuff.
Like, he did like 10 at HBO?
Yeah.
He did something crazy.
And
but that's
then,
like, yeah.
And then I lost, my mom died, and then we got HBO again, me and my buddy in high school. Chipped in and got HBO.
Yeah.
Because for $200, you could get somebody to connect a pole and he'd give you everything. So the dude that lived next door to me.
Yeah.
And he was selling boxes, $250, lifetime subscription.
I was just
rated X, porn from China, midget porn, rapes that happened on the street that people caught with fucking, you know, they had everything on there. Like, you know, if you
Argentinian
wanted,
news,
you get
weird shit.
$200 one time payment.
Yeah.
Then after about 6 months, they put a trap on your box. Then you would call him and he'd take the trap off. And I still remember the best month ever. It's weird. I saw Mike Binder last night at the store. Great man.
He's awesome. Mike Binder's the man.
Mike Binder's the man. And he had a movie called Hollywood Nights in 1981.
Yeah.
And it was, this is HBO only had.
Yeah.
It's so weird how I put on TV now and HBO has HBO 9.
Yeah.
You know, HBO Latino, HBO Dirty Comedy, HBO Regular Comedy. Yeah. HBO Ukraine, HBO 1, 2, 3, HBO Trump.
East and West.
Yeah, East and West.
Only was, audio.
When I was growing up, it was fucking HBO.
Yeah.
And they had 8 movies.
I'm hoping they put mine on the original
one. Yeah, and they had 8 movies. That's it. And every night for a month, they played those same movies, only in a different order. So me and my buddy had a pact. We would come home at 12, walk the Pathmark, shoplift ice cream, like we go, what do you have? $2? I got $4. What are the essentials? We'll shoplift the rest.
Yeah.
So we would like shoplift like salami and shit like that, but we'd buy ice cream and eggs and we'd go home and make like protein shakes and salami sandwiches on white bread and we'd watch The Raging Bull, Hollywood Nights, and Thief with James Caan.
Okay.
Every night.
So you just turn it on and you get guaranteed one of those
movies was going to be on. Behind it was going to be Thief, and the movie behind that was going to be Hollywood Nights.
Yeah,
it was like three in order.
So if you get Thief, you're like, all right, we got Raging Bull next. And hopefully,
then HBO got dark for a while.
Yeah,
like they started showing a lot of pussy. They had a show.
Are you talking about Retro Diaries?
They had Retro Diaries. They had The Hitchhiker.
I don't remember The Hitchhiker.
Hitchhiker was this lonely dude that walked on the road like kung fu. But he didn't know
it was
kung
just with
fu.
A dick?
He was just a dirty white dude that walked around and hot white women would fuck him all over. And it was like titties and bush, but they wouldn't show penetration. But good enough.
It's a lot of him holding her by the lower back.
Right,
and then
like all that
at the same
stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
And he would fuck her in a car or in a tent outside, or they would do something along the road, and then she would leave him, and then he would walk in the following episode. Some
just
other
fuck
dirty
someone
bitch
else.
Pick them up.
Dude, just dicking that, from town
that,
to town.
That would come on like at 12:30, one on Fridays. And then they had Tales from the Crypt.
Loved it.
Loved it. Some little midget monster.
The Crypt Keeper?
Yeah, the Crypt
Keeper. Just talking all that shit. Where you'd be like, and here's another one. Dude, I loved it. I was kind of the age where I hit puberty right as HBO went titty heavy, like with Dream On, which was like a comedy show, but they would always show titties. You just knew at one point in the episode, you're like, I'm gonna see titties. And I was at that age, kind of like you were at, where you're like timing it out. Where you're like, all right, Dream On's on, let's get ready. And then the titty, and you're like, go. But then we had tapes of like Cinemax movies, because Cinemax came along and was like, we know what you guys want. Just a little bit of story and a lot of softcore fun.
Cinemax is just disgusting.
Yeah, well, they just came along and like, here's this softcore porn. Which was the best.
Yeah, they started like at 10:30.
Yeah, and you were just like, because you knew that, because my friend Mitch had the black box that unscrambled everything. So you'd get the Spice Channel, but it was at my friend's house. And that you don't want to just like watch it porn with like 7 other 12-year-old dudes in a room. And you're like, all right, I got to get out of here. Everyone would leave. Everyone would just eventually be like, I get the fuck out of here. Because everyone wanted to go home and jerk off because you're like watching porn. And now kids it's just on their phones. They're just like, oh, like, just look at porn. You had to, like, find it like a truffle pig.
Yeah.
Like, dig for it.
And I'm way older than all you motherfuckers.
Yeah, you came up.
I still remember when you had to send the money order for $19.95 for 4 pornos and a projector.
And a projector?
And add postage.
Would you have to intercept it?
You'd have to take it to somebody's house whose parents worked all day. So the box would land there, and so you'd have to sit there and watch the mailman come. And once he put that box,
that
word got out. And pornos were not produced. It was just a camera with some broken down woman who they dragged into a room. It was just horrible. Porno from the 70s was really the Me Too.
Yeah.
That's when women would have said, what the fuck is going on?
But,
you know, women getting dragged by their hair into a room yelling and 3 Puerto Ricans fucking her.
Yeah.
It was just, it was porno that scared you.
Yeah,
as a
you
child.
Are.
Like,
yeah, if you
child,
saw that young enough, it shook you.
I remember being in a room, and when the kid, when I did Stress Factory,
yeah,
he showed up and he sat in the front row, and I go, "Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a question about any of my stories, now is the time to ask them."
Yeah.
And I just started unloading on what him and I saw as a child.
Jesus.
And I even did it in Miami this week because there was a kid who lived across the street from me.
Really?
He wasn't there with us that day. But I still remember ordering that porn, getting the box, and six of us chipped in. Five of us chipped in like $4 a piece. And we fucking...
Dude, that was someone's like... someone was an investment
and
with
we're
you.
Waiting, and we're waiting, you know, every day that you get the package.
Yeah.
Lee, did you go by there? I was there all day. The mailman didn't come. Well, it's because it would say 6 to 8 weeks.
So would someone mark it in a calendar? You had to like put it in.
Yeah, like we mailed it on the 13th of March.
There was like a countdown.
So we had a countdown going. So once the 6 weeks came, we were ready to blow. Would you get the porn yet? No.
Did you just eventually start jerking off to the idea of the package getting there?
Just getting there.
Yeah, like I'm a jerk off to the thought.
The party was in my attic. Oh. We put fucking a sheet up on the wall. We made sandwiches. We fucking covered the window with aluminum foil like a crack addict.
Yeah.
We put that porn on, and we were traumatized. traumatized to the point that I'm not a hooker guy or a strip club guy or anything from what I saw.
So if we had a reaction.
And I'm telling you the truth. This is not a joke. I think back. You look at my personality. I'm a wild man. Yes, I love pussy and I love everything. But Lee, 8 years. We went to a strip club. He hasn't
even
gone.
Yeah, just because of that video.
Just that video just gave me like I don't even watch porn. People send me shit.
Yeah,
you know, if somebody says to me this girl was at the store.
Yeah,
I'll look up her name. If I meet a porn chick.
Yeah,
and she tells me her name, I'll look her up or something. But besides that, I don't look up porn. I don't know anything about it. I know there's Pornhub and YouPorn.
And it was it because of that, like after that video, even as a kid, did you, were you just like, I don't know.
I was very Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, I was raised by a single mom that was, she spoke sexual, but I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then seeing that fucked me up.
How old were you when you saw it?
I gotta say 13.
Okay.
And we had an 11-year-old in the room, and he just started crying.
Yeah.
Like, he just broke down.
I mean, that shows you a real, like...
And today he's got 6 kids, so I don't know if it's because of that porn or whatever.
You snapped him in the line?
It just snapped
you. You got scared straight with the first... your first porn thing, here's the thing. Even when it's not a terrible situation, even when it's a good... I saw probably like a late 80s, early 90s porn for my first porn. It was still... The first hardcore porn you see, I was maybe around the same age, 13, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, fuck. What the fuck? Because it's so graphic and more hardcore. But then like to make it worse, like you're saying, that could snap you shut.
Somebody approached me this week, a publicist, and they wrote me this long note about a client they have. He wants to come on the podcast and talk about porn addiction in this country. And I looked at it and I'm like, you know, and how it ties in with human trafficking. And, you know, I would have had him if he would have cut it short at the porn addiction.
Yeah.
Because I love to learn about that stuff. But I don't want to hear about human trafficking on the show. That takes the show somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I like this show because from time to time, even if we get serious, we do crack a few jokes in between. There's no, you know.
If you're talking to a guy about human trafficking, you try to crack a joke.
I don't want to talk about human trafficking.
Yeah,
I get that. Every day we drive here in North Hollywood and you see all these massage parlors. And I can't even think. Like, I go to one massage parlor, but I take my wife there.
Yeah.
I took Lee there. It's called Ching Woon or something like that. And they do foot rubs. It's all guys.
It's legit. It's not.
It's one chick. It's legit. But all those other ones on Lancashire, they're all... Tug and hugs, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you ever go in there, like one Christmas, my back hurt. And everyone I went into, like I walked in and I was like, you know what? Let me make an appointment. Because I could tell just the look they had. And the woman looked broken. You could tell they're human trafficked.
So you could tell by walking in the door. They would look at you and just be like, hey, fuck, here we go.
Like, I got to fuck this guy for freedom. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, I'll jump off a fucking bridge.
Do you want to know how sweet that freedom is? I'm about to fuck this guy first.
And it was funny because I watched this documentary and it's the biggest concentration of them in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And I've had friends go to Houston and say, oh my God, we went to a massage parlor. She looked like Lucy Liu. She wanted 300 and she let you fuck her in the ass. Oh, with a condom. You know, just crazy shit. You know, comics. There's some comics who are fucking savages.
Yeah, you find out some guys and you're like, man, you should have been in the 15th century.
Oh, yeah. There's some comics that are just, that's, and listen, there's some comics. I was always drawn to the drug part of it. Okay. Second was sex, you know, yeah. The crazy.
I was alcohol first.
The bump that you bump into on the road. For some guys, I know three comics who blew their lives over their sex addiction. But I would never say nothing to, I've never said it to them. But I know that their sex addiction cost them their comedy career the same way
a drug problem would.
Alcohol or drug problem.
Because I think about that because I stopped drinking 6 years ago. And you think, like, I have a friend who overeats. You know what I mean? He's like 500 pounds. And I think about that. And I'm like, man, I hope. That what a hard thing to stop because the thing that's – you got to stop the thing that you have to do. I don't have to ever drink alcohol. Like sex, if you're a sex addict, you want to have sex again with your wife. So it's weird – you know, it'd be like if I had to drink a beer every day and they'd be like, don't be an alcoholic. That's a weird addiction to think. And I feel like I'm lucky that I don't have it.
I was going to say, like, I'm sure it's hard. There's parts to it. But sex addiction seems like the best. Like, it doesn't seem like it's that bad.
I think it could fucking destroy your life.
Destroy you.
How?
You know how? Because I have a dear friend that I got to meet out here.
Yeah.
And after 4 years, I asked, like, why don't you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
You know, she became friends with my wife. This is when I lived in Hollywood. She moved back to New York now.
Yeah.
And she just told me this sex addict thing, and we'd smoke joints. And one day I just said, break it down for me, and it was just horrific.
Yeah.
And it was something with her father, the uncle.
Oh, okay.
You know, but
I don't think anyone's born a sex addict. I don't think anyone just comes out like... you know what I mean? Like an unscathed childhood. And there's like, I feel like it always is, addictions always come from like a fucking rough landing as a child.
Absolutely.
I think as a kid, it's like a response to a fucking fall.
And I think it runs in something. I think, like for me, listen, I've been addicted to something since I could remember.
Yeah.
You know, let's start with my pacifier addiction.
Yeah, sucking your thumb.
I gave up pacifiers when I was 6.
Okay.
And I still remembered how I used them. I used them like people smoke cigarettes.
Where you'd stress out.
So I'd play with you.
Yeah.
And then let's say I lost a game, I'd go, I'll be right back. And I'd go in a corner and suck 3 times, then come back and keep playing Monopoly.
That is fucking hilarious.
About that. I thought about that not as a
just
joke.
Just a pack of when pacifiers?
I had them everywhere. All over the fucking apartment, 80 to 90 of them. And my mother had these Japanese dolls, and I used to play ball in the house. And she goes, listen, one day you're going to break one of those dolls. First, I'm going to break your head.
Yeah.
And 2, you're going to pay me the $300 for those dolls. I kept playing with the Spalding No. 2.
Yeah.
You know, they're a little harder for stickball. And I broke the fucking doll, and she goes, you either have to pay me the $300, or you give up your addiction to pacifiers. I knew I wasn't giving that bitch $300. She would have had to kill me to get the change I had saved up from the bar. I had exactly like $310.
Yeah, like you're not blowing that like fucking. You're not going to blow most of that.
I'm not blowing that fucking doll.
Yeah.
And I still remember her and I walking around the house and me going and she had a garbage bag. And me throwing, you know, I had them hiding under pillows. I had one like crazy glue.
Did you have
table.
Like? Did you have like a period of withdrawal? Like, did she have to leave you in a room where you're just like?
I don't remember. Like, I looked at my daughter when my daughter had it.
Yeah,
the Binky thing. It was over with her with 3, and that was enough. And I still remember her asking for it a couple times.
Yeah,
and then me coming back from the road and my wife going, "Don't even bring it up."
Yeah,
and that was it. I just moved on, but I guarantee. That addiction turned into, then I became a karate kid.
Okay.
And I was addicted with that.
Yeah.
Like that. So, and then Bruce Lee came and it drove me over. And then from that, I probably got hooked on fucking ice cream.
Yeah.
I don't know. I ate pizza every day, like Steakums. Everything I do, I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking last night, if somebody wants to kill me, all they got to do is go to the store on a Tuesday night. I'm at the store every Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know, rain, snow, shine. I feel bad. Christmas Eve is on Tuesday, and I'm like, what do I do?
Like, what you do gotta I gotta go to the store. Yeah.
Like, what do
you
I do?
You don't think about that when you have like habits like that, or like kind of like OCD compulsions like that, when it's something like a holiday and you're like, no, but I do this thing on this day. And everyone's like, you gotta eat turkey with your family. You're like, fuck.
When you do, listen, for you to get the HBO,
yeah,
you had to have some type of OCD. I mean, something to sit down and make you write. This shit, you have to have OCD to do what we do over and over and over.
What's weird is.
And repetitive and the same thought.
I feel weird when I come off the road because you get so used to going Thursday to Saturday, back on Sunday, you know, New York, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back on the road on Thursday, back home Sunday, and you start doing that. In the past month, I stopped after I filmed the special. I was like, all right, I'm just going to stay in the city, do spots, and I started to feel like it's itchy. Itchy is the best word. Where I was just kind of like, what the fuck, and I was getting bothered easy. And he's like, oh yeah, we're creatures of habit. You have to go back to doing that. And that's why I like stand-up, because I can go do the same thing. I can go to the Cellar Tuesday night after the bar. You know what I mean?
Like, I need 2 weeks a month.
Yeah. On the road, that's what I do.
I need it,
yeah.
Not financially.
Like, you just need to do it.
I need to do it.
Yeah.
I need it for my sanity. I've trained my family on it already.
That's the best.
My wife loves it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
My daughter loves it.
Yeah.
You know, the weeks I go on the road, her and I spend that little extra time.
Sure.
You know, it's something, you know, I was thinking about it last night, that I'm making it easier for my daughter to understand. Hopefully she marries a guy that travels and it's going to be like, fine.
Yeah.
You know, because I was the blueprint of her growing up.
And she's comfortable with it.
I travel 6 days. And I tell her, I look at her face, it's 5 fucking days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I miss you. 5 fucking days. And we keep the lights on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I need the road also. I could tell. I could tell when I'm home for a while.
And you get to, the road is, what's weird is you start becoming more of yourself on the road than at home. You know, there's like a part of you that's like, that's truly you by yourself. And you're just in now it's nice to travel with features, have, you know, a friend with you sometimes, and that makes it easier. But then when you're just like in Buffalo at Helium for 5 shows and you're like, yeah, this is who I am. When I'm in Austin at Cap City, you know, I'm still that guy during the Saturday after press. You become like that. That's just who you are as a person. So then when you don't go on the road, you're kind of like, I kind of miss doing stuff like that.
It's crazy how you evolve on the road also, because 28 years, let's say safely, correctly, I've been going on the road like an animal for 20, conservatively.
Can I ask you, as someone that's just started on the road and only gone on the road with the internet, what was that like before, when you're on the road and there's no fucking internet, or you didn't have movie channels?
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, okay, right now Lee's been doing it 2 years. And about 2 years, he's going to start getting calls to do one-nighters and whatnot.
Yeah.
And at first, the road is you drop your bags. You're going to Cleveland. You go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah. You go here. You go there. You have an idea. You know, you're a feature act, so you're not going to go to the best restaurant in town.
Sure.
But you're going to find affordable. And you go out and you do things. And you connect with people. Now, every time you go to that club as a feature act, which you're going to go to 6 times.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go there 6 times before you become
If you're lucky, you're getting that work like every 2 months.
That's twice a year.
Yeah.
That's twice a year, 3 years. You're going to go there as a feature.
Clubs you could get like 3 in if they were nice.
And if they really like you, they'll go stay next week.
Yeah.
You know, so assuming that you become friends with the bartender, now he'll tell you, hey, fly in Tuesday and there's a room an hour from here that pays $200. And now you start to meet people. But then the road, then you get married. You know, for you, you were drinking for 6 years.
Yeah.
And one day you said, you got to stop because this isn't working on the road.
Oh, man, I was waking up.
The road is a license to go.
Yeah.
When you, and that's why I tell people, the road for me, when I fucking got in that car June 25th, 1995 in Boulder, and I headed out to Ogden, Utah, that's open for Tribble, you know, do a Tribble run.
Yeah.
my mentality changed. You become a savage.
Yeah.
You become Tom Berenger in Major League.
Yeah.
You wake him up in the beginning.
Jake Taylor. Yeah.
Two naked women on top of him.
Yeah.
And a chicken in the room.
You can at least say it from the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you become on the road.
Yeah.
All you do is party, write, and perform.
Yeah.
Party, write, and perform. And somewhere on the way to Tuscaloosa, you stop and do laundry, and you bump into a fat black chick who fucking will cook for you, and then you go back. You know, and that's part of the adventure.
Sure.
And then you stop doing drugs and drinking.
Yeah.
Now the road becomes something different to you. Now you're starting to get special. So
yeah.
You're dedicating writing. You want to get healthy. So now the road becomes a gym also.
Yeah.
Now you actually look at gyms.
You go to restaurants.
Go to different restaurants. You want to get the
like
local
like actual
flair.
Restaurants. Though.
Like the local flair.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to Morton's in New York. You want to go to the local flair.
Yeah.
You know, let's go up to Arthur Avenue in the Bronx and get some spaghetti and fucking meatballs, you know. And then for me now, the road is an escape. You know, when I'm home, I have a child, I have
sure.
a wife, podcast, you know, it's constant. When I'm on the road, it's over.
Yeah.
It's about my Netflix,
yeah.
my notebook, and what I could walk to eat.
That's where I want. I would love. Yeah.
When you tell me the best,
I kind of am like that right now. I walk to where I
right.
eat
when
a lot of times.
When you tell me the best restaurant is Choo Choo's,
yeah.
I look it and I look at Twitter. I look at Uber. If it's more than a 10 spot, I don't need to go there.
You're not
I live in L.A. I don't want to be in another car.
Yeah.
I want to walk, breathe, get some vitamin D.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be in my hotel room.
See, I always look for the restaurants that are in between the club and the hotel. If you find something and you're like, all right, that's on the way so I can get it or take it back. For some reason, there was a couple months where I just wanted to get food and go back to my hotel room. Like, you want to go back to your cage early. Like,
I don't like food in my room.
You don't?
No. So I usually, like, when I go with...
So you go out to eat, you
like,
stay
let's say
out,
you yeah. go to Nyack.
Yeah.
You go to Nyack, right?
Yeah.
They got great food in fucking Nyack.
Yeah.
They got a Chinese restaurant that delivers.
Okay.
And they got a fucking Italian restaurant that delivers. So
yeah.
We did the show Thursday night. Friday, me and Matt Fultron, we just got fucking a bag of Italian food for 50 bucks. Spaghetti and clam sauce,
yeah.
bruschetta, fucking pizza.
The full go.
And that was all it for the day. He took three slices, I took three slices. And then Saturday it was Chinese, you know, but we eat it downstairs in the breakfast area.
Yeah.
So we'll sit there watching like whatever's on TV.
Oh, so you go to the lobby and eat.
Fuck yeah. When I bring food back, I go to the lobby and eat.
You know what? That's a good point because I always notice
I don't want food in my room.
The messiest food is when you bring it back. And then you get like a corner of a to go thing that'll open up and that's on the desk.
Yeah, every bedspread is white.
Did a fucking room once in San Diego 10, 11, 12 years ago. And I brought a pot cookie with me. And it was in a baggie.
Yeah.
And I put the pot cookie in the shelf. And the next morning I woke up and this was a fucking Hilton. This is like a Hilton, guys. Yeah. This is like a hotel in the fucking Gaslight District. Yeah. White people.
Yeah.
Do you know that a mouse ate the tail end of the cookie? The baggie? He ate through the baggie, so it was like a simple cookie. Guys, he didn't eat much. I'm not going to lie to you and say he ate the whole cookie. He ate like maybe this much of the cookie.
But can you imagine what they did to a mouse?
Oh, my God. That's why he had to stop. He's eating, he's thinking, he's getting he's at the bakery.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden his diabetes hit him. That motherfucker went under the sink and died. That motherfucker.
He was fighting through that bag, knowing what was on the other side. He's like a whole cookie. He was probably thinking of the cookie he was gonna give to his family, how he was generations and then he was eating it and he's like, this, what the fuck? Just putting him sideways.
I fucked that little mouse up, dog. That motherfucker didn't.
That's what you got to do instead of traps. Diaz weed cookies.
He sent the postcard to one of his cousins on the train. You know those trains on the A train where you're waiting for the mouse.
Yeah, that
you're
mouse,
waiting for the train.
Yeah.
You see something go by and you're like, I got to stop smoking.
Yeah, that mouse got into jazz
and then
and
you
just
look,
started
then you
walking.
Look
different.
At the fucking train tracks and you start to see him in New York City. Like,
yeah,
and you're like, okay, I'm not fucking seeing things.
Yeah, they the tracks in New York, you just. It's actually the way I feel like if you live near a river, you would watch a river run. You just watch like rats run down the subway tracks. And it's like, if you don't get skeezed out, you're just kind of like, nah, whatever. They're down there.
So the special came out last Saturday
night. Yeah, yeah. So now totally streaming. So, streaming on all the platforms.
And how you feeling about it?
Good, man. But it's like that new, like, all right, let's get back to work.
It's a horrible feeling.
It's horrible. It's two things. It's like exciting because you feel like you have a whole field in front of you, like just go run around. But then you're kind of like, man, I had some structured bits. I had some bits that I really worked the fuck out.
How long did you take between you shot this special to prepare?
I think we did the stand-ups on Netflix in March of 2017. And so from March 2017 to October of 2019. So about 2.5 years.
Okay. So you had plenty of time.
Yeah. And I went to Edinburgh. I went to Scotland and worked on it.
An hour. Okay, good.
And just worked that son of a bitch. Worked it, wanted to get it as tight as I could and then film it. And then it was just.
Where'd you film it?
Bowery Ballroom.
No shit.
Yeah.
How did it feel?
Great. Great. It's a great rock venue, but it's also just a good venue. Got about 400 people in there.
HBO shot a couple specials or just you?
They did like seven in 2019. I want to say they did about 7 or 8 specials. So I'm the last one of the year.
Good for you, man.
It's great. That's HBO. I got them to do the 1983 special presentation intro where you see the dad turning the TV and then they go up over the town and it comes out of the stars. I was like, man, if I could just get that on this special. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. I was like, fuck it.
That's great.
All right.
Control everything.
You just ask for shit. And they're like,
yeah. Now, cool. Where are your parents now? You said you grew up in Colorado.
Yeah, Aurora. I grew up in Aurora. My mom is still out there. She's still living in Aurora. And then my dad died when I was 14.
Sorry.
So it's just, oh, thanks. Yeah, it's just been there. And then my grandmother still lives out in San Francisco. So I spend... Those are the two places I go.
I hate to ask you this. Where were you? As we talked about before the podcast. I have a deep, deep love for Colorado.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what happened and the people who are listening in Denver. I just went to Denver and I did 2 shows at the Paramount and I went back to the room and I cried a little bit that night.
Yeah.
Because I've been to every state in the fucking union. Alaska, Hawaii, pretty much. I haven't done comedy in all of them, but Colorado's a special place, or it was when I first stepped foot in Colorado in 1983. It was a magical kingdom, especially where I came from in New York City and New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm from right over the tunnel.
Yeah, so you saw
over
shit.
The tunnel, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
And then New York City. And listen, not to take anything away from New York City, when New York City sneezes, everybody catches a cold. New York runs this bitch. But when I went to Colorado, it was something magical.
Yeah.
Like what I was expecting and what I saw were 2 different things.
Did you think it was just going to be like a podunk, tiny cow town?
I still remembered being a child.
83, man. Colorado. Denver's not big in 83.
I still remember being a child and them always going tonight on ABC, whatever, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Mountain Time.
Yeah.
And Mountain Time always fucked with me. I said, what the fuck is Mountain Time,
Yeah.
So when somebody came up to me and they go, listen, you're not doing too well here. I got a spot in Basalt. It's 45 minutes from Aspen. We got a house there. You're more than welcome to come out and get your head together. It was like, wow. But so I went, in those days you did not go online.
Yeah.
You went to the library. I was a bookie on 118th Street.
Okay.
And I went to some New York library and I got an encyclopedia and looked up Colorado and I read all about it. And I was like, I guess I'll go out there. And I pictured Little House on the Prairie. And
yeah.
I remember waking up on I-70 and seeing all this commerce and all this shit.
Yeah.
But we weren't headed there. We were headed to Basalt.
Yeah, so you gotta go through Colorado. You go through the foothills.
Shit, and all of a sudden you start to see this.
Georgetown. You're going by Georgetown on I-70.
You start to see it, except for the mountains, it looked like fucking Newark. downtown Denver. Whatever the fuck, downtown was a hellhole when I moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
So we didn't stop in Denver. We drove through Denver and I was like, not that bueno. But once we got out of Denver and you start feeling those mountains.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you. And a lot of people, you think I'm crazy. You don't feel it because you grew up there. I didn't grow up there. But the first time I was surrounded by mountains, something happens to you. You know, something happens to you. The mountains really have an effect on you. When I lived in Seattle, I would go to Bremerton, and that's the deepest point in the United States. That's why they launch submarines out of Bremerton.
Okay.
And when you're there, when you live close to the ocean and you live in a city like New York, and then you move to Colorado, there's some type of energy in those mountains. And I felt it. I felt at peace for the first time. I didn't have to do coke for the first time. I slept. I learned.
So it relaxed you.
I learned how to go fishing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man. That's
going skiing in Mammoth.
You know, growing up there, I think you don't realize.
You do not realize.
Because to you, you're from like a smaller town. You know, Denver is a small town, and you're watching, you know, I was growing up with cable, so you were watching shows based in New York and shit, and Denver was a small town, and then you would go to the mountains to do things with your parents, but that was kind of like you were going along because they wanted to do something, and for you, you're like, this sucks. I'd rather be at home with my friends running around doing that stuff. So I never really appreciated the mountains until I left Colorado and came back, and then I was like,
holy shit.
But also in a weird way, that's also why I think I appreciate New York so much, is because I grew up in a place like Denver where there is it's a lower pace. It's a slower pace. Kind of everyone, there is that, there's room out there. And then I moved to New York and I just liked that everything was there and you could get to work. And it was like, if you wanted to work, you could go. So I think, you know, having that opposite, either growing up in a different place like New York and Denver and then having it as an adult, you can appreciate both. Because I don't think there's a better place I could have grown up than Denver, than Aurora. Suburbs of a nice, you know.
Fucking beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's sunny. Fucking
beautiful.
It's so sunny all the time.
Nicest white people.
Great, nice white people. Lately, you know, not for a couple generations ago. Yeah.
You got to remember, I moved to fucking Basalt.
Yeah.
And the first thing we did for dinner the first night was go to a place where they gave you a fishing pole. I'm a New York City kid. I handled guns.
Yeah.
I threw rocks at people.
You got to descale a fish.
These people give you a fishing pole for $10. You throw it in the Roaring Fork. You catch a trout. They take it. They skin it. They cook it. And then they give you potato salad, 2 pieces of bread, and a beer. That was my first experience. I was like, what the fuck?
Yo, that is some
how
frontier
fucking
shit.
Cool is this shit?
Yeah.
And everybody's talking to people. And I still tell people.
Yeah.
Somebody put it up on Twitter. I still remember hitchhiking.
Yeah.
Like the big thing in Basalt was they had a hitching post. So you could hitchhike. And people would actually pull up and go, I'm not going up that far today. I'm so sorry. Good morning, though. And I'd go, fuck you, because I'm from New York. You don't fucking tell me good morning. I still remember going home the first day I applied for jobs. And I still remember my buddies like, so how'd it go today? I'm like, I'm out of here. They're fucking faggots. They tell you good morning. How are you? They ask you how you're doing. They talk to you. Like, I came from 1970 New York, where you were raised to look straight. You don't look down. You don't make eye contact. Only, I swear to God, I still remember hitchhiking and a lady pulling up and going, good morning. I wish I would give you a ride, but I can't because I'm only going up to old Snowmass. And me going,
why'd he stop?
What the fuck is wrong? Get the fuck out of here.
Blowing your mind that someone
was that nice.
It almost feels, did it feel like intrusive?
Oh like my someone God. Would be like, it what are you fucking? It felt like something I never, it took me a month to get used to. And then I was all in.
But what happened when you went back east after getting used to the Colorado conversation?
It took me about 8 months. I stayed and I really enjoyed it. I learned how to ski by myself. On Christmas Day, 83, I was all in, but I brought luggage with me. I brought my thievery luggage with me. And Snowmass Village is the size of fucking 3 blocks.
Yeah.
And I started robbing jewelry stores and burglarizing the mall Christmas Eve. So I had backed myself out of a position. So I left. Then I came back a year and a half later, moved back up there like nothing had happened. Again, I left in disgrace. I ended up getting arrested in Boulder. Now, when I moved to Aspen, I went to Boulder, and I was in Boulder 5 minutes before I looked at my buddies and I go, get the fucking car. Why would you bring me to this filthy hippie stinky sandal wearing fucking place.
You're just up on the hill watching all those hippies walk around.
I didn't go to the hill yet. I was down on Pearl Street Mall.
Yeah.
And I go, get me the fuck out of here. People playing the guitar with dogs and shit.
Yeah. Like, that's the most Colorado shit in the world.
We got out of there and I never went
back to Boulder. Pearl Street Mall is super fucking Colorado.
I'm like, I'm not going back to Boulder again. Yeah. Filthy animals, white people. I'm never going back
there. Feral whites.
Everybody had sandals on and shit.
Yeah.
Fuck that. And I went to New York, got a beating in New York, ended up homeless, the whole thing.
Okay.
I had a plane ride back to Colorado. I said, I'm moving to Colorado Springs. And I bumped into a black guy on the flight, and he goes, man, you don't want to move to no Colorado Springs. That's an army town.
Yep.
You're the Air Force. He goes, how old are you? 21. You want some pussy. You got to move to Boulder.
Yeah.
So I landed, got a hotel room, took a bus to Boulder the next day, and I moved to 1012 14th Street. Right on the fucking hill, around the corner from fucking the downtown club, 18, 16 and over.
Yeah.
Where Canavis McGee punched the guy in the eye and it knocked his eyeball out and shit. Tremendous. This was
that's fucking around awesome.
The corner from Abo's Pizza. I could throw a rock at the University of Colorado.
Yeah.
Wow. On 1012 14th Street, you could
dude, I know exactly where that is because all my friends' older brothers and sisters went to Boulder. So when I was in high school, you'd go up and go to those house parties, you know, and you just like Halloween, the Halloween house parties. If you're a high school kid in Aurora and you one of your friends' older brothers went to Colorado, you'd be like, oh, just go up there and drink. You just go and do a keg and pay $5. But you were like 17. It was fucking great.
I'm going away to a ski resort for New Year's with my daughter. The main reason is to see how she adapts to skiing and how she likes the cold weather.
Yeah.
If she likes the cold weather, I predict that within 3 years, I'll be living in the Grand Junction area.
Grand Junction?
I'm moving to that area.
Grand Junction? Why Grand Junction, though? Why not?
Montrose, like Telluride. I got all that. It hasn't been polluted smart. Yet with the marijuana.
Yeah.
And there's still houses for $300,000.
There you go. That's why not. That's why no Breckenridge.
Or- Grand Junction Airport flies directly to JFK and LAX seasonal. So you could still get out of there.
Grant, if anyone ever told me they were going to move to Grand Junction, I'd be like, Grand Junction?
In that area.
Yeah.
It would be 30 minutes from Grand Junction. I have a dear friend in Montrose.
You would have some. Okay.
I have a dear friend. I have friends. He was just here. Mike Roebuck.
Okay.
Was here. And we spoke. And he goes, you still have plans? And I go, I'm going to surprise you. His family owns a supermarket chain out there. Not King Supers.
I was about to say.
Not King
Supers. Okay, I was about to say, not they King, own King Supers?
Not King Super Dupers.
Yeah.
How far is Denver from that?
Oh, that's like a over a 6-hour drive.
Wow, okay.
You got to go through the Rockies. That's on the other side. That's the west side of the Rockies.
Wow.
And okay. So my point being that till this day, I'm very ashamed of my behavior in Colorado. If I would have done that behavior in New York, San Francisco, L.A., it was accepted.
Yeah.
But Colorado, to me, still remains a very special place.
Yeah.
I don't like the marijuana thing in Colorado. Because
really?
Because I think it brought too much. Bro, Colorado been smoking big dope since the 80s. All right? Colorado got nothing to prove to nobody. I was in Colorado in 83, and I was getting weed that would grow fucking hair on your balls. That high-altitude reefer. Get the fuck out of here.
So when I went to college in Tucson. I went to the University of Arizona. And before I left, you know, I went up to Boulder and I got an ounce. And it was four long buds. And it was, I weighed it, 28 grams. And I took it with me to Tucson thinking everyone had the equivalent of Boulder weed. Because when I was in high school, Boulder weed was, that's what you wanted to get it. That was the first time I saw weed with orange hairs. The first time, the sticky shit, it was Boulder. And I remember I brought that with me, and people in Tucson were like, where the fuck did you get this weed?
Listen,
and
you're like, these amateurs don't understand.
Yeah.
That I'm not even talking about Boulder. I'm talking about Colorado as a whole.
Yeah.
When I lived in Aspen, I used to go to Woody Creek Tavern.
Yeah.
All right.
Great Hunter S. Thompson's watering hole.
Seeing Hunter S. Thompson, and I could lie to you guys and tell you I didn't know who the fuck he was. I didn't know who the fuck he was.
Yeah, but I like that honesty.
The one time I went in there, he was with Bill Murray.
Okay.
They were just about to shoot where the buffalo roam.
All right.
I left. I found out that he was. Then I went in there another time, and he was in there with Don Johnson. because Woody Creek Tavern made the best fucking nachos. They used real chorizo.
Yeah.
Nobody uses chorizo on their nachos. That's mind-boggling, 1983.
Oh, bringing chorizo into the mountains of Colorado? Into the
mountains of Colorado. So fucking I would go down there, and I would get weed. The first time the person showed me the weed, I don't know if it was the lighting in the room. It looked like coke from how the crystals were on the bud. So for people who don't know, now you know. They've been smoking deep reefer in Colorado. Those motherfuckers. I had some people who were growing weed where they made the Shining.
Shining. My mom worked at that hotel in college.
See those what? Fucking twins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell them about how good the buffet is there on Sunday.
Oh, I don't know. I've never been to. My mom worked there up in college.
What's the name of the hotel?
It's the Broadmoor.
Something like that.
The Stanley is what it's called.
Right.
It's the Stanley in the book, but I think it's the Broadmoor Hotel.
In
real life.
In real life. They have a buffet.
The Stanley
I think it's still the Stanley.
They have a buffet on Sunday. It's the second time. It's the best buffet.
So my mom worked that hotel is really haunted.
Yes.
It's a very haunted hotel. And my mom worked there in the summer.
Yes.
And she worked the buffets, which was like that's a big deal at the hotel. The weekend buffets.
What's the name of the town where that's in?
Estes Park.
Estes Park, Colorado.
I don't know if this is still true, but as of 10 years ago, Estes Park was number one visited tourist location in the United States. I thought it was the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Really?
They have squirrels that come up to you. You can feed them. You've met blueback squirrels.
That's cool, but that's better than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, that's great. But that hotel, my mom worked the breakfast shift, and she said, like, they would come in and the tables would be, like, you know, chairs on the tables and stuff. Like, Jesus. Everything moved around, and they have to reset it. But they just became, like, used to it because that hotel was that haunted. They're just like, oh, yeah. Ghosts are fucking with us again. And you're like, cool. And then The Shining. And then they made The Shining. Because I think my mom was in college when they made The Shining. Or was that late 70s? When did The Shining come out?
Let's find out.
I had to say, it had to come out. Fuck.
I want to see that new one, Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep. 80.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so she was way gone. But it was, you know.
I was just moving up there.
Okay. So you moved up there 83.
And I moved up to Snowmass. On the heels of Ted Bundy.
Fuck, dude. You always forget about Colorado stopover.
Get
the. Hey, you forget Ted Bundy made a call.
Out of Aspen
twice.
And he killed the chick at the Wildwood Inn in Snowmass. And I used to hang out at the Stonebridge, which is right up the block. So they would go. That's the first place they'd take you. Let's go see where Ted Bundy killed the fuck.
That's where you would take.
Right? That's where people would take you. You look
like stuff. You want to see where Ted Bundy bashed that lady's head in? Holy, yeah. You forget about the Colorado stopover of Ted Bundy. You think mostly Washington and Florida.
You know, Colorado was a very unique place. Like I said, it means the world to me because I became a man there.
I
got married, divorced. I failed there as a man. I went to prison there, learned how to shoot.
Yeah,
I learned how to kill people there. I mean, I had a trainer there that's all he did, blow up people, wires, battery acid.
Jesus.
You know, because they used to hide a lot of Vietnam vets in Colorado to protect NORAD. I did not know this.
That's fucking crazy.
Because NORAD is in Colorado.
Yeah, it's in the mountain.
So they would, you know, I just heard this. I don't know how true it is that they would actually send a lot of, I knew a guy in Snowmass Village that once a year he wore his costume and a helicopter would come and get him. And then he'd leave and then he'd come back and he'd be a skier. But besides that, he had 19 racks of fucking medals.
That's like John J. Rambo.
And people had stories about him. And then I became friends with him because I worked at a video store.
Yeah.
And one day I asked him, I said, you really a Green Beret? And he goes, yeah. I go, are you guys the best? He goes, well, Green Beret, a SEAL, a fucking this and this was sitting, and a ranger was sitting around making a bowl of stew. And the ranger was telling his stories, and the SEAL was telling his story, and this guy was his story. And the whole time, the Marine was stirring the pot with his dick. Like, that's the story he told me. That's how tough I am, all right? And he used to wear the little Rambo.
Yeah. He's the best.
And a helicopter would come get him. And then there was a guy, an editor named John Link. He edited Above the Law.
Okay.
Commando.
Yeah.
And what's the Steven Seagal movie?
Hard to Kill?
Yeah. No, 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 no. The one when he came back, you know, he's in a coma for 8 years.
Yeah, hard to kill.
And 2 weeks later, he's flying through the air.
Fucking shit
people
up.
People got to go to fucking therapy for 10 years.
Yeah, physical therapy.
Yeah. He
woke up and started beating the shit out of people. He woke up
to acupuncture to himself, first of all.
I love that.
He acupunctured himself out of a coma. And then, you know, this is when, 87, they wrote some wild cocaine additive.
He's still making those movies.
I love it.
Is he?
But yeah, they like just go direct to...
In Hong Kong. It's him beating all those protesters.
That's the next Seagal. Hard to protest.
Hard to protest.
Yeah.
What dates you got coming up, bro?
I'm going to be in San Francisco. I'm going to be in Boston. All dates at dansoder.com. I'm hitting the road again January.
Dansoder.com. Okay.
Get that new, you know, put that new hour together.
I hear you, man.
Dude, thanks tough. So much for having me on, man. It's
Bert Kreischer called me 2 nights ago. He's starting Thursdays at the Ha Ha, workout Thursdays. He goes, I got to start from scratch again.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
It's terrifying. Horrible. Because you're like,
it's a month.
Do I know how to write a fucking joke?
It's a month of suicidal thoughts because you're like, what the fuck am I going to say?
All I keep thinking about is like, what does that even mean?
And you don't book yourself for an hour because you do, because you might as well embarrass yourself. But you go to, like, Albany, like, you know, where they just got 2 feet of snow and they don't give a fuck if you go up there and hit yourself with a hammer in the head. You know what I'm saying? They don't give a fuck if you bomb up in Albany this weekend.
Yeah, that's why I got to wait till January to be like, all right, I got a semblance of something. Something. Holidays, I got something new to be. Yeah, figure something out. But, man, thanks so much for having me on.
Man,
the first time I ever saw... You know, I heard of you, but I came through L.A. for just a quick stop, and I met up with Ari at the Comedy Store, and I was with Louis Katz, and we were waiting for Ari, and we walked into the back of the original room, and I saw you do this set, and I was like, man, Joey Diaz is fucking hilarious. Because it was just for some reason, while I was waiting for Ari, Louis and I walked in, sat down, watched you, and you were doing a story about teaching a cat how to do blow. And it was one of the fucking hardest I've laughed. And I remember leaving being like, dude, Joey Diaz is a fucking beast. Just, you know, and I don't get out to L.A. a lot. So it's just nice to meet you. And thanks for having me on.
And I'd love to do the bonfire.
Dude, when
do you tape them?
We do Monday through Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Yeah, 6 to 8.
Fucking Jay's a hard worker.
Dude, he's got that. Legion of Skanks.
No shit.
Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. He's doing a great new show at The Stand that you definitely have to do called The Worst, where you tell a story and Jay kind of interjects with thoughts or whatever. I've done it.
What nights does he do that?
He does it once a month. But if he ever does an LA, dude, I'm telling you, man. That just me dream booking you on The Worst with Big Jay would be the shit. But, dude, I love you, man. And thanks for having me on. I love you.
Thank you very much.
And it's that Colorado connection. It was just.
No, we got to get you back on.
Because, dude, I mean, yeah. I love that shit. And I miss Colorado, but I love living in New York.
I miss it. And that's why I told my wife, I go, before we spend a ton of loot, go to vacation in Grand Junction and fly in and the whole thing, let's see how she handles Big Bear.
Perfect.
And if she likes the snow and she likes falling down. And all that shit, I'm out of here. I'm Colorado bound. I'll ask for forgiveness. Yeah. I'll volunteer with blind kids. just to give me good karma.
Yeah.
You know, because I always felt like that was the wrong place to do the things I was doing. I remember Rogan moving to Boulder and calling me and going, I'm driving in this town and I'm seeing you and this was like a fucking candy store for you.
Yeah.
You know, I still remember going to Kmart on Christmas.
Yeah.
And in Boulder.
Yeah.
And the place was closed. The gate was open. There was no attendant. There was 10, you know, a couple trees. And the guy said, leave your payment in the thing. And I'm like, no, he didn't. And I'm broke. I look in the envelope. There's $200. I take the cash. I leave the checks. And I steal a Christmas tree. I felt so bad about that. I went back and put $200 in this thing, and I didn't tell him for what. You know, there was a story that I didn't do.
Yeah.
But this is how nice people in Colorado are. And you people are listening, and they're like, oh, they're fucking stupid. No. They're so nice and Boulder. A fucking guy put 5 boxes in front of 5 drive-ins in a bank of Boulder.
Yeah.
So the driving lanes, it was a big bank with drive-ins. He put a box and a sign that said, window closed, put deposits in here. you'll receive receipts in the mail. He did that till lunchtime, till they caught on. He came, he got all five boxes. God knows what he stole.
Good God. That's
how nice the people
are. Yeah, they're like, oh, okay.
I couldn't. I was like a bully there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, people leave your keys in the ignition in the car.
Well, now you get to move back.
And now I get to move back and try to be a normal motherfucker.
I love that.
All right. Dude, I love you, Dan Soda.
Yeah, do the best.
Listen, the church is brought to you by, don't forget, Dan Soda special. Came out on Saturday night. Catch it on HBO. He's a funny guy. He's a great guy. And I'm happy that he made it on today. I want to thank him. I want to thank the Christ Killer. But most importantly, I want to thank you motherfuckers for supporting the church of what's happening now. Let me explain something to you. The holiday season's coming. You're sitting there. What am I going to get this guy? What am I going to get Jimmy? What am I going to... Ah! I got something for you, and it starts at $79. The Hello Tushy Portable Bidet. You're like, Joey, why would I need a bidet? Why? Because why would you need to cut down 1,000 fucking trees to wipe your ass? Wiping your butt with dry toilet paper doesn't remove all this shit. It leaves all the fucking espíritus behind. You got poop on any other part of your body. Would you just wipe it off with dry paper? No. Water cleans better than dry paper, you fucking momo. Tushy Spays sprays water directly into your asshole and removes everything. Listen, bidets are common all over the world, except here. A bidet saves you money on toilet paper. You still use a little toilet paper to pat you down, but the amount doesn't matter. We also, over at Tushy, they got tremendous little Turkish towels to dry your asshole clean. Tushy sprays water into your fucking ass, not toilet water. I'm talking about Tushy connects to the water supply behind your toilet to spray your dirty parts, your nutsack, your asshole, that crack, with fresh water. The same water you brush your teeth with. Wet wipes are worse than fucking toilet paper. Listen, take it from your Uncle Joey. If you wipe with paper, you're going to leave fucking cause anal fissures, and you don't want to have no anal fissures in your fucking asshole, all right? So, bidets are the way to go. They start at $79. They come in different colors. They got a 60-day guarantee. But let me tell you something. I've had mine for, what, maybe 4 fucking years. I'm 300 fucking pounds, and it still washes my asshole. Tip-top Magoota. So go to HelloTushy.com right now and press in.
Church.
Get 10% off your order. Anytime, right now. This is the gift to give. You show up with this, they're going to be fucking happy. And it's easy to install. You don't need a plumber. You can do it all on your own. Go to HelloTushy.com right now. Let me tell you something else. The church is brought to you by Stance Socks. They're the most comfortable socks that you could possibly wear. Get them. Stance Socks. They're just not comfy. They're going to turn heads. Their designs are beyond anything you've ever seen on a sock. They're works of art, whatever you're into. If they got Metallica, they got the Karate Kid, they got the whole Quentin Tarantino collection. Every football, every baseball, every basketball team, they got something for every sports fanatic in your life. This Christmas, let me tell you something, these socks, they're just comfortable. You ever just put a pair of socks on? When I fly, I put on my Stance. Why? When I go to lift weights, I put on my Stance. Why? Because they're comfortable. They make your feet feel like $1 million. You know what I'm saying? They're like fucking an SUV for your feet. They're comfortable. They're just tremendous. And this, again, is another tremendous Christmas present. So right now, for the church family, I got a great offer. You ready? Go to stance.com right now, and you'll get a free pair of socks with any purchase. Purchase a pair of socks, they're going to throw a pair of socks in, all right? Stance is the best way to cross everyone off your holiday shopping list. That's Stance. Grab a pen. stance.com/church to get your free pair of socks. Because if they're not Stance, they're not socks. They're just pieces of fucking shit, all right? Go to stance.com right now. Stance. stance.com/church. And get a free pair of socks when you order whatever they have to sell you. Who takes care of you like Uncle Joey? And again, I'm taking care of you. This weekend, you got Usman versus Covington coming up Saturday night. Did you know that? No. MyBookie.ag has the lines and all that and much more. They even got prop bets set up for the Super Bowl halftime show. Will the tit fall out? Will the little fucking black guy slip off the stage? Who the fuck knows? My bookie's got it. Plus, they got better incentives and more lines than any other sports book, period. Don't wait. Get in the fucking game. You're sitting there at home doing nothing with your fucking life, watching these games like a Momo. At least make a little money. They're running a contest. You pick five teams. They go against the spread. You win 100,000. That's my bookie. They're a tremendous site. So do me a favor right now. Use promo code CHURCH and get 50% bonus on your initial deposit. Joey, what does that mean? You know what that means? If you put in a G note, they're going to give you $500 on top of that. So you start with $1,500. Who's better than my bookie? Nobody. That's why I go to mybookie.ag today. That's mybookie, mybookie.ag. And don't forget to use promo code CHURCH when creating your account to claim your bonus. You play, you win, you motherfucking get paid, Jack. I want to thank my bookie. I want to thank Hello Tushy. And I want to thank Stan Sox. But most importantly, I want to thank you fucking savages. Calusa Casino is sold out. There's maybe two tickets left for the Christmas show up at the Ice House. And San Francisco, the second show, there's still some tickets left. Palace of Performing Arts. And it's after Christmas, so we'll have a good time on a Saturday night. I love you guys. Do not forget to watch the Dan Soder special on HBO. I want to thank the Christ Killer. I want to thank fucking Dan Soder. But I want to thank you guys for being fucking family. And thank you for all the compliments on Mercy. She is a great kid, and I'm trying my hardest. I love you, motherfuckers. See you Monday morning, or maybe Tuesday. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. But I'll see you next week, all right? Stay black. God bless you. Don't let nobody fuck with you. Kick this fucking muley.
Eat.